Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life Weekly Service. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello, hello. Glad to be here.
And, of course, Michael Kelly, producing the show, is also with us.
Hello, everybody.
And today is Wednesday, September 14th, 2016. It's good to have everyone with us here in the live chat, as well as those listening to the archive. The Spirit of Life program is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, our flagship school that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical topics, and Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone metaphysical courses, diplomas, and degrees at TFUniversity.org. As is customary, I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief. We have nine of them, and they are, number one, do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Four, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. Eight, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And nine, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And if you'd like to read the full version of these principles of belief, you can do so on our main website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So again, it's good to see so many in our chat room, and appreciate you all joining us tonight. We're going to have a couple of quick updates and stories and so forth, and then we will take some cards. If any of you here tonight would like a card drawn from our Inner Oracle card deck, then we'd be happy to do that. Just put your name in the chat room and we'll do that in a moment. I'd like to follow up with an update to last week. We talked about this Stephen L. Anderson, this radical Christian fundamentalist Baptist from Tempe, Arizona, who doesn't like the LGBT community and was fixing to go to South Africa to spew forth his hate and all the other crap that he spews forth. And it turns out that South Africa has banned him and 17 of his supporters from going there, which is good. And I understand that UK won't even let him in their airport to stop over. So that's good. You know, we have enough hate going on in the world. We have enough hate in the presidential race going on in the U.S., and we don't need more hate. We need more love. We need more kindness. We need more niceness. And so, you know, and again, I'll say it again, I don't think this dude protests too much against gays. You know, I'm sorry, he just does, and that just makes me suspicious. So anyway, that's good for South Africa. They won't have to deal with this dude. I have no time for people who do that. Look, you don't want to be gay, you don't want to be straight, I don't care what you are, but you don't have to criticize other people. You don't have to as we talked about last week, dehumanize other people, their people, you know, and they rely on God's word, the Bible, which honestly is not real. It's just plagiarism from earlier works. And, you know, they use that as their authority, and they use that as their crutch, as their permission to say whatever they want. And, you know, they have all the stuff to say against gays and that community. You know, I could sit here all night just decimating their book and their beliefs. I was a Christian for 40 years. I know what they believe. And I could be here all night doing that, but I don't want to speak forth hate. If you want to be a Christian, I don't care. Just do no harm, do right. I've said that a zillion times. That might be an exaggeration. I think it's only a half a zillion now, but I'm getting there. All right, so that's a good update. Dr. Hunter has a story she would like to talk about.
Well, you know, you talk about people who spew stuff from their mouths. There's also the people who believe it. Those who are easily manipulated, I suppose. And I, on that very note, I would like to bring up an article that I came across just yesterday, I think. It had to do with media companies. And there used to be, according to this article, 88 different media companies throughout the world, like all these different, you know, ownerships. Well, today there's only 6, and they're all owned by Rothschilds. Hear me clearly. I'll read this to you. It says, all of these 6 media companies receive their news from Reuters and the Associated Press. Reuters owns the Associated Press, and the Rothschilds own Reuters. And, of course, there's lists and lists and lists of who owns what in this article. It's very lengthy. But, you see, we're listening to news that is skewed. There used to be investigative journalism. There used to be, you know, where you could dig up a story. I mean, that's how Nixon and Watergate, you know, that's how he got tossed out. And now, of course, if reporters say anything that is not, you know, not in their directive, they get fired or they go to jail. But here's the thing. It's the public that's listening. And so I would just like to throw in that I think it's so important that we scrutinize our sources of reading material. Like, take everything with a grain of salt. There are now underground internet news outlets that you can find, and they're not in the dark web. They're actually there, all these different organizations trying to get the news out that's more accurate, that have been up and coming the last 10 years despite all the pressure, and they're not owned by the 6 media companies that are owned by Rothschild. So, and perhaps a really good example of it is not too long ago, there's a story out of Norway, 323 reindeer killed by lightning. Now, I'm reading this story, and of course, scientists believe, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, how, okay, you know, they were all standing close together, and they all got, you know, their theory is they got, all got killed by lightning. Now, I'm not a scientist, but my logic says that the likelihood of that is pretty slim. So I'm thinking, well, maybe they didn't die that way at all. Maybe it was chemicals. Maybe it was radiation. Maybe it was electromagnetic frequencies charged off in an area. I've got a whole list of possibilities.
I think it was aliens.
And aliens. Who knows? I mean, to think, okay, an event occurs, they take one look at it, and within a couple of hours, they've all decided. And, of course, now they're doing autopsies. What do they call them with animals? Necropsies. And, you know, the reports will come out. Well, you know, in a few weeks, nobody's going to care about the having read, you know, 300 and some dead reindeer. But that's the point. You know, you've got all these events happening, and there's an immediate speculation. And I'm saying, well, who came up with that idea. So again, you know, it's not just who is saying it, it's who's believing it. So we have to check in with ourselves. It's no different than, you know, of course, Dr. Kelly had to say the Trump name before the show, so I have to throw it in too. It's not about Trump, it's about the people listening. That is the bigger consideration to me. It's how many people are following, how many people believe that. So here we have to still learn to manage it, and we have to keep filtering in our minds who says what, considering the source, and looking for alternate ways to get our information and to keep our minds clear. Because remember, reality is a perception. It's what we perceive. So, you know, I can just only encourage people to keep an open mind. Don't believe everything that you're told. You know, do a little research, critical thinking. You know, just kind of assess things from a bit more of a logical perspective. And, you know, it's inductive and deductive reasoning. You know, it's see the bigger pictures. So I think that from what I am encouraged about is various other underground sources of news media that are now, you know, becoming more commonplace, and it won't be long. So there's considered a war of media. So where do you want to put your focus? What do you want to believe? Okay, they're reporting a storm's coming to Florida or a storm's going to China. I think we can be pretty sure that that's reasonably accurate. Where that storm will go is still a computer-generated maybe. I know a lot of days I listen to the news on the radio, and they're speculating for a sunny day, and I look outside and it's raining. And I think you have rain down in Florida nobody predicted that's going on today, too. So, I mean, if the satellite shows a typhoon, we're pretty sure it's a typhoon. Where it's going, we're not sure. But, you know, we have to go with the speculation.
We
so
have
again,
a cone of uncertainty.
Well, you know, it is. And I like to live in my preferred reality, which is I'm not from this planet. And I have a very big report that's all down, you know, on a tiny little desk that you can put down on a little tiny whatever thing, whatever it is, and plug it into your computer. I tell you, it's so big now that it's, you know, reduced to a computer. So when I go home, I'm reporting on everybody here on Earth. That's what I'm doing. That's my reality. So that's just my two bits worth. I just like to encourage folks to, you know, please use some good judgment about what's coming from where and by whom and how. And that, you know, there's usually a strategy to make us want to believe something, whether it's religion or otherwise, you know.
And, you know, another thing that we got to remember is that the media is in it, you know, to sell hype. They hype everything,
yeah.
You know, and they create fear. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, even on the weather.com, which I look at, I mean, the way that they phrase the stories is to create fear and hype and get people worried. And the same is with the news media, and the same is with TV shows. It brings to mind, you know, all these paranormal TV shows, you know, and people think, oh, wow, that really happened. No, it probably didn't. And it's to create sensationalism and hype, and they got to sell ads. They got to get people watching this stuff, and people are not going to watch a boring paranormal investigation, which is what 99% of them are. And the same is true with the elections. I mean, this is watching this reality show unfold here, you know, and people are on the edge of their seat. What's he going to say next? What's he going to do next, you know? And it's unfortunate that that element has entered into the presidential election. But as you said, it's about the people who are following these characters. And it's too bad. So,
you know, right. I sent you that link on the Tasmanian tiger, mm-hmm. In Australia, and it's extinct apparently since
right.
1936. And there's a bit of footage. Somebody claims to have got a few seconds of footage of a Tasmanian tiger just not that long ago, and they're all saying that maybe it's not extinct. Well, as I'm watching this, you know, very scrutinizing, what they're seeing and what I'm seeing, it looked like a kangaroo to me. But you know, I'm thinking, you guys see a Tasmanian tiger. I see a kangaroo. So this is another way of perception, right? It's what we want it to be. So, of
probably
course, they're getting...
a blob-squatch photo.
You know, gee, it's an interesting... The human mind, the human perception, it's really fascinating. I just had to throw that in. It's what we want to see. We're going to see what we want to see.
There have been a lot of reports of the Tasmanian devil sightings and, you know, some credible ones too, but interesting stuff.
Well, I think this was a kangaroo. That's my thought.
Well, yeah. And it was.
In my mind.
Yeah. In your world, it was. Yeah, you know, it's the same as true with all of us. You know, we see what we see, and our reality is our reality. Our perception is our reality, and all that stuff's been said. So if anyone would like a card pulled, please put your name in the chat room. We're going to start with Dr. Sandra from South Africa.
I was just going to say, I made a double note here, and for... Dr. Sandra in South Africa, I have just pulled number 13, positive consciousness. So I'm going to read this for you. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. But be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill toward others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude, even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they're temporary. So it's that reinforcement of just being positive. You know, filter the negative stuff, what we're talking about.
And it's positive consciousness is really a step up, and it's not always the easiest to achieve. It's a positive bent, a positive inclination, and some people have that gift. You know,
but don't be positive when I'm venting. If I need to vent, just let me vent, and then we can be positive.
Right, which
I
you
just
said.
Got
so.
That in.
So, you know, it's not always easy to do that, but we can work at it. You know, there's very few people that I've seen that have that natural bent, and I'm sitting across from one right now who's always positive, and I'm talking about Tracy.
Tracy is.
And
so I think...
Anyway, I wanted to say that so we need to work at that, you know, and it's the thoughts. If our thoughts naturally... tend toward a positive viewpoint, we're getting there. Go ahead. Did you have something else you wanted to say, Dr. Hunter?
Sorry, I was just looking through the list here, and if Michael, you can help me, you know, just kind of keep tabs on everyone. I think Phyllis is next. Do I have that right?
Tabby.
Yes, Tabby would be next, I believe.
Oh, well, let's see. Okay, that's what I mean. Tabitha, this one is for you. Open-mindedness, and that's number 38 in the life skills section in that suit. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions. Boy, that's right in keeping with what we've been talking about tonight. So, but that one's for you, Tabitha. If there's some life right now, is keeping an open mind and a little critical thinking. So that's for you.
All right. Dr. Angie's next. Michael, you want to pull a card?
I'd be happy to. All right. And the card I pulled is wild card number 1, paradox.
paradox.
A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a new set of ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to make what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered.
You know, this is a card we don't get very often, that we don't pull very often, but it's an interesting one.
Well,
and go ahead, son.
I was just going to say that, you know, to me, the paradox card is one of the, kind of core truths of life, is that it just, you know, paradoxes are all around us. Two truths that seemingly are at odds, but both are true at the same time. It just seems to be kind of the stuff that life is made of.
Kind of like a juxtaposition.
Yep. All right, so next on the list would be
Fran,
Dr. Phyllis.
I think.
No, Dr. Phyllis.
No, I believe it is Fran, actually.
Okay, well then, my bad. I'll let you guys handle
that
stuff.
Go ahead, Michael. Go ahead.
All right, let's see what we got here. And I have number 12 in the existential suit. Spirit, cosmos, divine energy. I don't think we pulled that one in a while either. Let's see. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play.
All right. Good card. Nothing coming to mind to comment on that one.
Nothing popped into my mind. You know, it's when a card is pulled for you, it relates to you as you see it, or as it resonates with you. It might be a situation. It might be an event, someone in particular. It certainly, every card is going to resonate with all of us. But usually, as it kind of, you know, it kind of plugs in, and then you'll interpret it just to get us thinking. That's all. So, who we have next? Would that be
Dr. Phyllis?
Dr. Phyllis, I have a card for you right here. Reinvention. Now, there's another card we haven't pulled for a while. So this one's for you, Phyllis. Nothing's more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shift shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future successes and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they're healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented? I think you even mentioned in the chat room a few things that you are, you know, researching and finding new things for yourself. So that's a form of reinvention too. When we take our mind off of one thing and put it to another, that we're, again, transforming our thoughts. So I think that's a good card.
Mm-hmm. Bridget's next. Michael, you want to do that?
Absolutely. All right. Let's see here. All right, I have a another wild card. Wild card number 7. Hope.
Hope is the face value.
Yes, number 7. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. When all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
You know, hope is just so important. That's our spiritual connection. I really believe that. I think hope is connected with our spirit. It always inspires us. It's a good one.
And, yeah, it is. Now, I don't know if Michael G. is next or...
Yes, Michael Garcia. Glad to have you here. I have Continuity of Life for You, Michael. It's number 16. It's in the Existential Suit. Now, I'll just read it for you. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity and the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin. There's a mystery afoot there.
I'm going to just say that this card, in my opinion, is quite apropos. And of course, Michael will know why, but it just amazes me. I mean, I don't know that I could have deliberately chosen a more appropriate card. So I hope that helps. It's going from one chapter to another, and that's what we do in life. We grow, we evolve, and all evolution is, all that spiritual growth is spiritual evolving, is just going from one chapter to another, from one scenario to another, from one life set to another. Life changes and it grows, and so it's quite interesting.
Well, I think we can all do with a little reminder of all of these cards from time to time, but from the responses in the chat room, people are expressing how accurate that each one has been for them tonight. So thanks for that feedback, by the way. It helps us out. It does.
Yeah. These cards are just, I don't know even what to make of it myself. It just, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, this was unexpected by me. I did not, when we did these inner oracle cards, a couple years ago now, and designed them and created them, and then once you start using them, it's uncanny what they draw up. And now, they're not mystical. They're designed to get you to think. They're designed to get you thinking about different aspects of your growth, your life, your skill set, all these different things. And in fact, everything, these inner oracle cards are kind of a synopsis of everything we teach in the IMHS degree program, the TFU degree program, especially the IMHS degree program. It's a synopsis. Because that's what metaphysical humanism is. It's practical life skills. It's education. It's growing. It's being nice. It's not hating. And it's all these different things that these cards reflect. And when you start using them, and one leads to another, and oftentimes we'll pull two or three at a time, and then you have kind of a complex approach where different nuances or different aspects of each one might combine with the others to drive you to a new realization. It's almost like brainstorming, sort of. So they're fascinating, and it's uncanny how they just come up and they just apply. And I could go through the whole deck and some will apply right now, but many won't. And it's those ones that really apply that come through. It's just amazing.
Well, I would like to pull a card for all of us. Is that all right?
Absolutely.
Trust and integrity. number 42. It kind of is in keeping with what we're talking about tonight, the whole flow. Integrity means being true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself. And how I also see that is it's important for each of us to be really honest, you know, with who we are and never waver from that. And, you know, we're always kind of bending or moving over to make space for other people. And I don't like the word compromise very much because that means to compromise, to give up something of yourself, which to me belongs in a boardroom. But I do believe in that, you know, that finding a middle ground and moving over. It's like if you need the toilet paper roll up or down, who cares? You know, it's a thing to you. It's not a thing to me. Little things in life that we move over for each other. But you don't lose your integrity when you're doing that because it's really small stuff in the big scheme of things. So just remember that. And when you're relating with other people, just be as true as you can to yourself. Know when to walk away. Know when things, it's just not important. I always ask myself, you know, what good will come of me saying this, this, or this? Or what do I hope to achieve by that? Or, you know, is it any of my business? Did anybody ask me? You know, you go through all those little things to have hopefully better relationships with other people. And in that is, you know, trusting yourself that you'll be a good responder, not a reactor, and that you're thinking for yourself, staying true, and it's that self-integrity. So
and there are two points I want to add on this one as well. Integrity, how do we behave when nobody's looking? How do we behave when we're not being checked or scrutinized? You know, are we taking the high road? Are we acting with integrity, with honesty, with and in the spirit of doing no harm and doing the right thing? You know, that's a test of your character, of your mettle. And so we want to have that integrity and that goodness. That's integrity. We want to be, you know, highly evolved. We want to do the right thing. And the second point that I want to just verify, expand on a little bit was walking your own path. You'd mentioned this in several different phrases. You know, we have our own path to walk. And it's come up this week, you know, in my travels here that some are probably listening way too much to what others think and not walking their own path, not fulfilling their own purpose, but they're giving in to someone close to them. And when we listen to somebody else and deny our own path, we have sacrificed our identity, our own identity, and adopted the identity of the other person. Well, we don't really have a right to do that on a number of levels. We don't have, it's our right to be who we are. It's our right to have our own identity. There's nothing wrong with that. And so we don't want to assume the identity of someone else. And, you know, if they don't agree with our path, okay, so what? You know, they may get all hot and bothered over it. So what? Doesn't matter. It's not their path. And they either need to learn that or, you know, the relationship will suffer. And so walk your own path. Don't let anyone else try to, what's the word I want to put, impute their identity onto you by manipulating you or conditioning you or, I guess, manipulating you into doing something that they want to see you do rather than what you truly want to do. So be you. Be your own person.
Speaking of that, right in that vein, there is a discussion in the chat room about near-death experience and how, and I'm not going to mention names, but how someone had died and come back and has felt different. And there's discussion about it being a walk-in because it felt like being guided back, and another spirit came back when she was revived. So there's all this discussion going on right now in the chat. I would like to throw in that, and another comment, I suppose I should just segue it with this. Someone says when your soul is waiting to be reborn, it can choose to leave at any time, and another soul can step in to finish that life. That, although I have heard of such things, it is really extremely rare that a soul will enter a body and the previous soul would leave. It's such a rare thing, and there's a huge identity crisis that goes with that. What is more likely to have happened is your own identity and your own soul expansion. I have been called a walk-in before because of certain events in my life that changed me that profoundly. I don't believe that there was some other spirit joined my body. What I believe is my consciousness, like, just widened and expanded, and it's like putting on new eyes. It's, oh, holy smokes, you know. I'm different. I'm the same, but I'm different. And I'm different because I'm more conscious. So I would like the people in the chat room and the people who are having this conversation to consider more that that's likely than being joined with a spirit. Now, that's not to say a spirit couldn't have guided you back. That's entirely possible. But that you are who you are, and the integrity of you is more likely to be a greater sense of self, and self in big capital letters, which is expanded consciousness. The notion of walk-ins is as rare as you can think. It's I have heard people say they've known walk-ins, and it's like night and day, different personality altogether. And there's the claim that a lot of the memory of the previous spirit who hosted that body is gone. So you got to keep in mind an integration of memory and experiences, unless, of course, you are retaining some memory, but there's a whole different view of it. So it's a really radical change for walk-ins. But go ahead.
And here's a good summation of this, balanced down to earth. So many comments in the chat room. I've always felt that when someone has a near-death experience, that they definitely can be changed when they come back. To me, it isn't that the spirit wasn't there before. The event just opens up to their self-knowledge to be more expansive. And that's what you were saying. And that's exactly what happens. We don't want to give credit to some other spirit when we have any kind of a spiritual epiphany, whether it's from an NDE or some sort of a life change, something, you know, we have an epiphany about where we've been, what we're doing, and we change. That just means we're growing, and different things have opened up. I mean, there's no question secret that NDEs will usually change a person for the better. They're it's just like you're facing death and you change because now your mind is more expanded and you're looking at different angles. You're looking at different possibilities. And when, you know, if you're facing death and then you get past it, you're different.
You know, most people fear death, and we're taught to fear death. And when you have touched the face of death, when you have died and you come back, there is no longer a fear of death. Imagine for a moment, people, how life changes when you don't live in fear. How much more you see, how much more you're open to, because you don't have that fear. And in fact, I had a discussion. I had to go for an appointment. It's an update on I had mold poisoning last year, and seeing the lung specialist today. And he said, what changed you? Like, you've really taken initiative. You know, you're like doing all the responsible things. I'm really curious about what is it that got you to make these changes? And I said, well, life's an experiment. You know, dead is dead. Life's an experiment. And as long as I'm here, I'm just going to keep experimenting. So, I mean, it's that or die. And, I mean, that's okay, too, if I died. But life is an experiment. And he said, well, that's true. I could have thrown a whole whack of drugs at you. And I said, and that's its own experiment. I like mine better. So, see? So it changes the whole perspective. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have felt that had I not had an NDE myself, had I not touched that place that's beyond this body, beyond this. I believe that. And to who is in the chat room, and again, I'm not going to name names for, you know, for the archives here, but for those of you who have had NDEs, I say we're kind of in a different club. You know, it's a club of been there, done that, and we're still here, and life changes color. We're just different. We're more of who we are, and that will continue. Because you have life experiences. It's not just the NDE. It's every life experience you have thereafter. It's different in a way that you respond than before. You see? So when you lived in fear, you had a view of life and how to respond to it. When you no longer have that fear, it is different. You know, thank you, Zach. Zach goes love bomb. Oh, the experiment. Zach and I have had many conversations and, you know, we all know that Zach has his new blog up, and he is a great help to other people with MS and taking on his own challenges. And kudos to you, Zach. You know, we're always on your side. So,
all right.
Great discussion. It is a good discussion.
We're going to start wrapping things up tonight. We talked about some updates. We talked about positive consciousness, open-mindedness, paradox, spirit, cosmos, divine energy, reinvention, hope, continuity of life, and integrity, in addition to our discussion about NDEs and so forth. It's been a good discussion. Hopefully you found something that will get you thinking, that will enrich your own experiment we call life here on this planet.
It is.
This time. It is. And so it's good. We've had a nice discussion. So we appreciate everybody's time. Thanks to Michael Kelly for being part of this, as well as Dr. Hunter and all of you who are listening to this. If you'd like more information about ICMH Church, please visit us at metaphysicalhumanism.org. If you'd like to get your degree in a metaphysical topic, like spiritual counseling, life coaching, paranthropology, paranormal science, ufology, all those, visit us at metaphysicsinstitute.org. And there's more information there. Now, next week, we're going to be doing our Rite of Equinoctial Equilibrium, which is the equinox celebration. It's a time to sit back and think about where you've been and where you're going, and we do that different times of the year. So next week, we'll be doing that one. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.